Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court took up the issue of life without parole for juvenile offenders. The question for the justices is whether children who commit murder should have the chance at some point in their lives to prove they should be set free.
So you have a ton of research that shows that adolescent brain development is not complete through the early 20s. And to have a sort of the finality of a life without parole sentence for something where you basically have a youth making decisions very impulsively and not able to really look at the long-term consequences of their actions. We as a state should not be subjecting young people who are still in the process of maturing to a sentence that's so final as life without parole.
Sumaya Wahid is the Books Not Bars campaign director at the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights. Wahid says this idea of children who commit crimes having the chance to redeem themselves is the foundational principle behind juvenile justice, which is why the Ella Baker Center has worked for years to close down the California Division of Juvenile Justice, formerly known as the California Youth Authority. Governor Jerry Brown has proposed shutting down the DJJ to help balance the state's budget. As it stands, the DJJ operates 5 prisons, 2 camps, and 8 parole offices. It oversees more than 1,000 juvenile offenders, 80% of whom recidivate after their release. So if there's no DJJ, critics wonder what the state will do with kids who commit serious crimes. In a story that originally aired last year, KALW's Rena Palta reports on when Governor Brown first tried to shut down the DJJ. And a note to our listeners, some of the names in this story have been changed to protect the privacy of children whose criminal records have been sealed.
What you need?
It's a sunny weekend in the Bay Area, and Freddie is watching 3 of his little brothers turn the front driveway into a skateboard ramp.
A lot of my brothers are skaters, which I'm happy that they're skaters and not gangsters. So I'd rather them be skaters and dedicate their time to that than to be running the streets like I was when I was a kid.
Today, Freddie is 24, but when he was younger, about the age of his preteen brothers, he spent time at juvenile hall and on probation. The first time was for assaulting someone during a fight.
And the second time I got incarcerated for trying to sling, which is sell drugs in school. I did a week for that and got out. And this is the third time I got incarcerated, which I think it was 2000, the day after Thanksgiving. No, it was that day. It was on a Friday, actually. I don't know what time, but that was a crazy day.
That day, Freddie shot a rival gang member. His charge on attempted murder sent him not back to the county juvenile hall, but to the California Youth Authority, the state's juvenile correction system, now known as the Division of Juvenile Justice. After 10 years in the DJJ, Freddie got out about 2 weeks ago.
I won't say that I'm handicapped, but it has, in a way, kept me back.
On one hand, Freddie will have a clean record when he gets off parole on his 25th birthday. He was put in the system as a juvenile. Whatever he did as a kid will not follow him into adulthood, at least not on paper. But is he ready to succeed as an adult?
The whole spirit of it is a second chance.
Barry Crisberg is the research and policy director of the Chief Justice Earl Warren Institute at Berkeley's Law School. In the 1990s, the juvenile system hit its peak of 10,000 wards, and the facilities became crowded. They were gang-infested, and kids who misbehaved would spend months inside lockups.
Found the conditions were horrid, some of the worst that anyone had ever documented in juvenile justice.
And that second chance wasn't turning into anything. The latest available data, which is from 2005, shows that about 81% of wards released from DJJ were arrested within 3 years of release. About 56% either returned to DJJ or entered an adult prison within 3 years. Those kinds of numbers led to a lawsuit against the DJJ in 2003 by the Prison Law Office. Governor Schwarzenegger chose not to fight it and agreed to make changes.
The state promised that it would fix the system.
Dan McAleer is the director of the Center for Juvenile and Criminal Justice.
That it would abandon these old prison-like facilities, get rid of the gang subculture, get rid of the violence, place kids in situations where they truly could be rehabilitated, where they could be housed in safe facilities.
Some things have changed, McAleer says. The current population in the system has decreased about 90% to 1,200 wards. Several facilities have been closed, and fewer kids end up in lockups. As for promises that the system would fundamentally change and start focusing on rehabilitation,
the state promised that back in 2004. And since that time, they have failed in that effort.
Which is why McAleer supports Governor Jerry Brown's new proposal to completely shut down the DJJ. Citing the $28 billion budget gap, Brown has proposed to completely dismantle the state system, which currently spends about $234,000 per child each year. The savings, according to Brown, would total $250 million and put the responsibility of care and reform of these offenders back on the county. Is this a good idea? Turns out, intelligent minds disagree.
I think that that's the direction we need to go.
It seems to me it's a step backward.
Dan McAleer and Barry Crisberg, both juvenile justice reformers, have different takes on the matter. At the heart of each of their opinions is a debate over who would best prepare these kids for adulthood, the county or the state. We don't yet have any details of Governor Brown's plan, like how much money he plans on giving the counties to absorb more kids, or where the most troubled kids will be housed. But to some people, like Crisberg, the idea of tearing up the DJJ sounds crazy. Why transfer responsibility to a set of uncoordinated counties that don't have regulations, uniformity, or any guarantee that they'll even treat the kids better than the state? Crisberg says some county facilities are known for being worse than the state's.
So we're taking them out of not very great facilities with, you know, kind of passable programming, and we're putting them into hell.
There are all kinds of things in Brown's budget proposal that are going to put pressure on the counties, especially in the criminal justice arena. There's a proposal to put low-level offenders in county jail and to move parole supervision of many offenders to county probation departments. Who's going to pay for all this, and what will prevent the state from simply walking away and leaving the counties to pick up the pieces?
That's really an important question.
Dan McAleer of the Center for Juvenile and Criminal Justice says the next few months are going to be important to figuring out the answer.
The state will have to maintain its promise, of course, but I think it'll be easier to maintain that promise, for example, in this instance, without the dual responsibility of, one, trying to maintain a very expensive but failed state system, and at the same time trying to prop up the county systems.
As the state is considering leaving behind an old system, Freddie is trying to leave behind his record and start fresh.
Here I am now, and since I've been out, I've been doing everything I have to do to maintain myself out of trouble.
Most importantly, Freddie says he values patience, something he learned in the correctional system, and something he'll need as he tries to navigate this new life and leave the old one behind. For Cross Currents, I'm Rena Palta.